I'll be reading from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11. For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good morning. Go ahead and mark 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 11. We'll be referring back to that throughout the sermon this morning. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 11. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 11. I could not think of a better time to come and visit with you guys and to fellowship with you guys than when Mr. Dennis is gone. But Mr. Dennis and I, or Mr. Shrine, we go way back, most probably 30, 35 years back to when I was a young child at the North Charleston congregation, and him and his family worshiped with us down there. And me and his son grew up together down there. And then they broke my heart when they moved away when I was a junior in high school to South Dakota. I don't think you could get any more opposite than South Carolina than South Dakota. But I joke, I love the Shrine family, and looks like all of them are gone today. So again, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 11, that is going to be our theme here this morning, reaching the goal, reaching the goal. We all have goals in our secular lives as well. Some of them might be academic, some of them might be sports related, some of them might be relationship goals with you and your spouse, some of them might be relationships with maybe a girlfriend or a boyfriend. You might have some secular goals at work as well, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with having goals in the secular world. And if we want to reach those goals, you know, a lot of times we'll figure out a path. What do we have to do in order to reach those goals? And we come up with this with these plans, right? And we lay all these plans out, and then life happens. And a lot of times we don't get to reach our goals. And it's nothing of our doing. It's not because we didn't lay out the plan. Just sometimes they don't happen. Again, it's not because of our lack of effort. It's not because of our lack of planning. Or it's not because of our lack of execution. Sometimes there are physical limitations to our plans. There are physical limitations. When I got into college and, you know, I'd always wanted to be a teacher. And I was like, I want to be the next teacher in space. And I set up this whole plan, right? And then I knew I wanted to be a science teacher. Then I started teaching. And then I looked up at NASA, and you can't be over 5'11". Well, that's not even close. It's 6'4". You know, and I was absolutely devastated that you can't be an astronaut and be 6'4". So there are some physical limitations that might happen because of your size. But there might be some location limitations. You might not be able to reach your goals because of where you live or where your goal is. There might be some financial limitations. It might be too expensive, and you might not be able to reach that. There also might be some intellectual limitations. I tell my students all the time, not all of y'all cut out to be doctors, and that is okay. Okay? You got to realize that sometimes there are intellectual limitations. But what about our spiritual goals? Now, we have these worldly goals. We have spiritual goals, which are great. But this morning, I'm going to talk about, as Jerry told everybody already, I want to talk about one spiritual goal here this morning, and that is going to be heaven. That is going to be heaven. Let's read the scripture one more time. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 11. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, are there any limitations for us to get into heaven? Do we have a physical limitation? Are there location limitations? Are there financial limitations? Are there intellectual limitations to get into heaven? If we read that scripture, it uses that word abundantly. I think that's the opposite there of limitations. So, we have our goal. We know everybody's goal in here should be to get to heaven. So then what causes some then not to get to heaven? What causes some not to get to heaven? God doesn't care if we're 7'11" or 4'8". God doesn't care if we live in Antarctica or on top of Mount Popocatepetl in Chile. God doesn't care if you are rich. God doesn't care if you are poor. God doesn't care if you can solve the quadratic equation in your head or if you simply struggle with the Oxford comma. Okay, that would be me. God wants us all in heaven. So this morning, I want us to focus on what limitations are do we put before ourselves? Because God says it's abundant. That entrance is abundant. So there is something that we put before ourselves then that limits us. It's something that we do. And go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. And this is where we'll begin the main part of our sermon about understanding the limits that we as humans, that we as individuals put on ourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, who should shine on them. So this gives us an insight. This gives us the idea of what has the potential then to hinder us from reaching that goal in heaven. And we have two things that we're going to focus on this morning. And those two things are this idea about being veiled and about being blinded. Veil and blinded. And there is a contrast between the two. Veil means to hinder the knowledge of something. And so these would be external factors. Veil, to hinder the knowledge of something. And there in verse 4, blind. And when we study that one, we're going to talk about things that darken the mind. And so these would be internal factors. So this morning we'll look at external factors, things that veil us. And then we're going to look at internal factors, things that blind us. Things that blind us. Okay, so Genesis chapter 29 and verses 15 through 30. If we want to talk about a veil, again, a veil is something to hinder the knowledge of. And a veil used to be something that was commonplace in weddings. I can remember a few veils when I was a kid, but I don't remember seeing many veils since then. And now I'm trying to remember if there was a veil. There was not a veil at all. Okay, whew. Okay. There was no veil, but I can remember a few when I was a kid. But again, I guess that was just a common practice that's now gone away. But Genesis chapter 29 and verses 15, 30, we're not going to read that entire section. But this is something that we often study in Bible classes growing up, and about Jacob meets his cousin Rachel. Now that cousin part, that's a totally different sermon in Bible class. We won't dive into that. And is immediately smitten with Rachel's kindness and her beauty. And Jacob, without any money to support a marriage, strikes a deal with Rachel's father, Laban, and says, I will work for you 7 years. And then at the wedding, the veil, again, hindering the knowledge of, the veil hid who was actually behind that, and it wasn't Rachel at all. So then he had to strike a second deal to work 7 more years to get the love of his life. Okay, so that is what a veil is. It hinders the knowledge of, and that's a pretty good biblical example. So what are some things that can hinder us? What are some things that are physical? What are some things that are between us and God? What are some things that has the potential then to upset our goal of getting to heaven? What are some things that we put in front of us? Don't forget, God doesn't put them there. God says it's abundant. That entrance is abundant. And the first one is our friends. Is our friends. We can think back to Job and how Job suffered and everything that Job went through. Now, Job's friends at first did mourn with him and sat with him and put the sackcloth on and threw the ashes on. But then as time progressed, Job's friends turned on him. Job's friends did the opposite of what a godly friend should do. Job's friends said, well, God is punishing you because you're the sinner. And we know that is absolutely not the case. So friends that are before us can absolutely hinder us from reaching heaven. Go to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. That'll be the second thing of what can hinder us. Matthew chapter 10. verses 34 through 39. Matthew chapter 10, 34 through 39. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I've come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. For he who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Family can absolutely be a distraction. Family can cause us to veer off our path. We'll hit that one here in a second. Because sometimes it could come up that our family is pressuring us to come and do some of their family things, which then would not be in correlation with what God would want us to be. Go to Psalm chapter 32 and verse 8. Psalm chapter 32 and verse 8. So again, some things that can be a distraction, some things that can hinder our knowledge, some things that we put in the way, could potentially put in the way our friends and family. And the third one is Psalm chapter 32 and verse 8. Psalm chapter 32 and verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. So some things that can absolutely hinder us is a lack of direction. I can remember a story, was probably when I was 7 or 8. The preacher at the time was telling it. And there was a father and 2 kids, and they were in the snow. And the father challenged the youngest one, I want you to walk through the snow, and I want you to make a straight line. So the little kid puts his head down and starts walking through the snow to make a straight line. He wants to make his dad proud, right? And the son, at the words, looks up and turns around, and the father and the older son are smiling. And the son's footsteps through the snow are just this straight line, not a straight line, this jagged line going all over the place and did not end up where they were supposed to be going. Okay, so then, of course, the oldest son, right, he knows better. He's going to learn from the youngest son. He's going to say, well, I'm not going to walk like that. I'm going to use those steps then to guide my steps to where I'm supposed to be going. So the older son looks down, sees those steps, and then the older son then is trying to guide himself by using the other steps. And come to find out, the oldest son didn't do very well either. Now, it was a little bit straighter, but still was not at the goal. So then the father said, okay, boys, watch this. And the father looked up. He picked up a tree in front of him and then was able to walk straight towards that tree. If we're trying to find our own direction, our own steps, our own ways, it will never work. If we try to use somebody else's steps, somebody else's way, somebody else's guide, it's not going to work either. Okay, this scripture, Psalm chapter 32 and verse 8, makes it very, very plainly that God, Jesus, the Word, needs to be our guide. That needs to be the tree that we are walking to through in the snow. Go to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19. Again, things that we can put before us. Mr. Jolkin must probably speak for years on the things that can be put before us. We're not gonna be here forever today, right? But there are a few things that we have mentioned, our friends, our family, a lack of direction. But Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, if we wanted to come up with a list of things, then this would be a great place to start. And if we wanted to eliminate things that could hinder us, that could potentially not allow us to find our goal in heaven, then this would be a great place to start. Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 19. Now the works of the flesh. Now I could just stop there, and you could most probably name the works of the flesh or come somewhat close to them, okay? We know what it says, but again, these are things that we put before us. These are things we put before us. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay? Now we can start there. We could stop there, right? That's a pretty exhaustive list. But the scripture goes on in other places to tell us not only those, but also those who approve of such things. We can't even approve of those. If we approve of them, then that's going to be a hindrance as well. So again, this is not an exhaustive list, but this would be a great place to start. Okay, so we have these hindrances. We have these things that are veiling our goal of getting to heaven. And what's great about the Bible is the Bible not only tells us what the problems are, but the Bible also provides us with a solution. The Bible also provides us with a solution. So go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And starting in verse 15, Matthew chapter 5, and starting in verse 15. Matthew chapter 5, verse 15. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So here is one solution. Again, we're going to only go over three quick solutions. The Bible's full of solutions. So if we don't want anything to be hindered, if we don't want anything to veil us, then we can't let our light be hidden under a basket. I know it's a VBS song that a lot of kids sing, and you got the whole motions. I think I was doing the motions while I was talking to you, right? That's an easy solution. Don't let our light be hidden under a bushel. Go to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 14. Starting in verse 14. Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 14. Now, this is the parable of the talents. It's a long set of scriptures, verses 14 through 30. You know, one went and hid the talent. You know, it didn't do what he was supposed to do with the talents. Okay? If we want the things to be that are before us, that could be hindrance, that have that potential, then don't be lazy. That's all it simply comes down to. Look at verse 26. Verse 26. But his Lord answered and said to him, "You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed." It's very, very simple. A lot of times when it comes to these solutions, and there are three simple solutions, okay? Don't hide it on a bushel. Don't be lazy. And we'll look at Psalm 119 for our third solution. Okay, we complicate it. It's very simple. Don't be lazy. And our third solution, Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verses 111. Psalm 119, verses 111. Psalm, 119, verse 11, not 111, verse 11. Psalm 119, verse 11. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. And if we do a little word study, it's talking about here to veil your heart. So this is something that we should veil. This is something that we should protect is our heart. We want the sin of the world to be veiled from our heart. We want the sin of the world to be hindered from our heart. We don't want our heart and the sin of the world to be able to come in contact with each other. So again, this idea about veiling, what are some things that can hinder us? Our friends, our family, our lack of direction, the works of the flesh. But the solutions are very easy. Don't hide what we know under a bushel. Don't be lazy. And then actually to veil our hearts, to protect our hearts. But verse 4, if we skip back to 2 Corinthians, verse 4 talked about the blind part, the blindness. That's darkening the mind to blunt the mental discernment. So what are some things that darken the mind? All those things before were all physical things that we have, that we let be put before us. So now these things are things that are of the heart, things that are of the mind, things that are of the heart, things that are of the mind. Go to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. To darken the mind, that's not used a lot of the times today, but things that cloud your mind, things that cloud your judgment. That would be something that we would talk about today. Matthew chapter 22 and verses 23 through 33 is a big section again. Matthew 23, and this is talking about the scribes and the Pharisees. And we can go for weeks talking about the scribes and the Pharisees and the chief priests, and they were major players in the New Testament, okay? And they often harassed Jesus and his disciples and his the apostles. To put it simply, the reason why they were harassing Jesus and the disciples is because their authority and their power were now in question. Beforehand, the people used to go to the scribes and the chief priests and to the Sadducees and the Pharisees to look for answers, okay? To get answers. But now they're not turning. All these people aren't turning to them anymore. But now they're turning to Jesus and to them. Okay? And in this set of scriptures, Jesus tells them, you are mistaken. Talking to the chief priests in this case, to the Pharisees and Sadducees. You are mistaken. These individuals were letting power and authority to cloud their mind. They were allowing that idea to darken their mind. Go to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 18. We will read that one together. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 18. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 18. And this idea about this power or authority is still no different than today, about things darkening our mind, things clouding our judgment. Ephesians 4:18. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Okay, so the blindness of their heart. Jesus gave us an example of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Here Paul is telling us that it was still happening then, and it's still happening today. So what are some things that can darken our mind? What are some things that can cloud our judgment? Go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We're going to be reading verses 2 through 8. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 8. So as you're flipping there, and a lot of times, you know, when you talk about illicit drug use, some people might say, well, drugs isn't really mentioned in the Bible. Well, as we all know, you know, the drugs actually do cloud your judgment. They actually do darken your mind. And if you do a word study about witchcraft in the New Testament, it is one of the words that's translated is actually talking about illicit drugs. So when they would actually do some of the witchcraft stuff in the that was mentioned in the New Testament, they would give them these drugs, these hallucinations. Okay, that's what then, you know, make them see things. So witchcraft, illicit drug use is actually mentioned in the Bible. Okay, but James chapter 1 verses 2 through 8 is talking about doubt. Doubt can absolutely darken our mind. Doubt can cloud our judgment. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 8. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not the man suppose that he will receive anything less from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And our mind can be very, 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 very powerful. Very powerful. And if we let doubt settle in, then that doubt's gonna root in our brains. It's gonna root inside, and it's only gonna do one thing. Once we let it settle in, it's only going to grow. And then, as that doubt grows, then that is absolutely going to darken our minds. Go to Obadiah chapter 3. Obadiah chapter 3. So doubts can darken our mind, but so can pride. So can pride. Obadiah verse 3. Obadiah, verse 3. The pride of your heart has deceived you, you who dwell in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high. You who say in your heart, who will bring me down to the ground? Proud people do not think they need to ask for forgiveness from God because they cannot admit or recognize their sinful condition. Then as a result of this pride, pride also affects the person's attitude then towards others, often causing them to look down on these others, okay, in a less worthy or less stable way. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 24 tells us, a proud and prideful people treat others with contempt and cruelty. A scoffer is his name. He acts with arrogant pride. And the greatest danger in the sin of pride is that it keeps our eyes on ourselves then instead of God. Okay, so that's that internal, that's that brain thing that's darkening the mind. We are now not focused on God, but now we are focused on ourselves. In essence, pride causes spiritual blindness, and then eventually that spiritual blindness will be spiritual death as well. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10 is our next one. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. Some things that can darken our minds are doubt and pride, but also greed. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10 is probably the most misquoted scripture. If I could have a personal opinion about the most misquoted scripture, and a lot of times people say, money is the root of all kinds of evil. And it's like, no, that's not what it says. You see it on social media, on Facebook all the time. No, it's not. It's the love of money. The love of money. That greed, that intense and selfish desire for something else. A lot of times with most sermons and most Bible classes, when we talk about greed, that's where we stop. We stop with money. But we can be greedy with more than just our financial situation. We can be more than greedy with more than just what we have in our bank account. We can be greedy with our time. We're all blessed with the same number of 24 hours in a day, right? Some people say, well, I got to do this, I got to do that. We're all given the same amount of time. We can be greedy with our time. We can be greedy with our abilities. We can be greedy with our knowledge. So when we talk about greediness and that how that can be this thing that darkens our minds, we need to think beyond just what the about money, but also about our time and our abilities and our knowledge. But again, we have these things that can darken our mind, that can cloud our judgment. The Bible offers a solution. The Bible offers a solution. And they're very simple, just like the ones we have already studied. Psalm chapter 119, 105. Psalm chapter 119, verses 105. A scripture we're most probably all familiar with. Psalm 119, 105. And here's talking, if you notice, there's two different lights. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I'm going to do a little sidetrack here for a second. As I mentioned before, I'm a science teacher, and a lot of times people have a misunderstanding about heat and cold. Cold is there's no really such thing as cold, but it's more about the absence of heat. Yes, Joy, I know you've heard that before. She's heard me preach it before. But when we talk about light and darkness, darkness is the absence of light. Darkness is the absence of light. So if we have a blind mind, it's not because it's there's something not there. It's because there's something that should be there, the light that should be there. Okay, and we have this. The word is a lamp to my feet, so the things that are right before us, and then a light to my path, the things that are then set in front of us. So that's one solution. Go to Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. And we're talking about things that can darken our mind, that can cloud our judgment. Verses 8 and 9. And if we find ourselves in a state where we're not thinking clearly, we're letting things of the world darken our mind, we're letting the things of the world come in and cloud our judgment, then the verses 8 and 9 is what we should be focusing on. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. If our mind has been darkened, if our judgment's been clouded, here's some simple scriptures that can go to. This will then lighten up our brains. It will remove that darkness. And then this is the opposite of what can darken our minds. We need to meditate on these things. We need to focus on these things. Again, our mind is very powerful. And if we make the decision then to focus on these things, then that's exactly what will happen. And our last scripture this morning, go to Psalm chapter 14. Psalm chapter 14. We're going to read verses 6 through 8. Psalm chapter 14. Reading verses 6 through 8. Psalm 14, 6 through 8. Sorry, I can't read my own handwriting here. Psalm 146, that's twice now. Psalm 146, verse 8. Psalm 146 and verse 8. That's better. Psalm 146 and verse 8. You know, so a lot of times in the world when we have problems, you know, just think to yourself, who do people turn to? Who do they look for guidance? Okay? Maybe some ancient philosopher, or maybe it's a parent, or maybe it's a teacher, okay? But there's only one person we can turn to if our mind has been darkened. Psalm 146 and verse 8. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. So we might have put some things before us. We might have put some things that have veiled us, that have hindered the knowledge of Jesus, okay? But what's great is the Bible offers solutions of that, okay? And you can make that decision here this morning to remove that veil. You can make that decision to remove those things that can hinder your knowledge of Jesus, that prohibit you then from going to heaven. And it's your choice. And you can repent of those. You can change and you can make the decision to not allow those things then to hinder you anymore. But Jesus also provides the opportunity then to undarken your mind, okay? To allow light then to come in. Again, only Jesus can offer that solution. You can repent of those things that have darkened your mind in the past, whether it was doubt or pride or greed or any of the other number of things that have been mentioned, that are mentioned in the Bible. So make that decision this morning. Repent of those things that are veiling you. Repent of those things that are blinding you. But if you need the prayers of the congregation, we could help you this time. If you could, please come forward and stay as we stand and sing.